Exodus 16, verses 1 through 16. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to the Israelites, "In the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that we should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread, and then you will know that I am the Lord your God." That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent." Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for a chance to come and worship you and just to hear your word. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you come and speak to each of us. God and Lord, we just ask that you guide and direct this time. In your name we pray, amen. So just some background. What is it has been translated to manna. So that's actually, they would have said manna. People were only to gather what they needed for that day, unless the next day was the Sabbath. And then they would gather enough for 2 days. And then we see that the people gathered too much at first and it spoiled in their tents. And it was only good for the time period that God told them. And they only received manna while they were in the desert. After celebrating Passover at Gilgal in the plains of Jericho, they ate the food of the land and they no longer received manna from heaven. And this was just before they were going to enter into the promised land in Joshua 5. And so as I was reflecting on this passage and what to share, there was three things that came to me and came to mind about what God could be teaching us about manna. And the first is provisions for a season. Provisions for a season. Manna teaches us that God provides for us in different seasons in different ways. One of his names is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. In this season, the Israelites learned to depend on God for their daily provisions. They were learning what it meant to be children of his and no longer slaves. So they had to every day literally be dependent on God providing them food, where to go, where to stay, how long to stay there. Manna, as we said already, was only for a season. And once they entered into the new promised land, which was a different season, a new time for these people, their provision changed. The land provided the produce. There was lots of produce, and it was filled with milk and honey, and that was God's new way of provision for them in their life. And as we grow in our relationship with God, our needs are going to change as well. It's easy for us to get stuck into thinking that God will always work in our lives the same way that he did in the past, but it's just not true. Sometimes God knows that we need some rest. That is a season of rest for us, and that the only way we're actually going to grow with him is if we take time out, that we sit and we relax in his presence. But there's other seasons where he's going to challenge us to serve, to get up and do something, and you wonder why we're not growing, it's probably because we're not doing something in that season. There's other seasons where money is short. We may have lost our job. And the way that we're going to grow closer to God and in our life is that we're going to have to trust Him fully for our provisions. Literally, where are we going to get our food for the next day or even the next meal of that day? And there's going to be other seasons. I think God is a good God and He's a fun God. And He knows that you just need extra fun in your life. And as you're having fun, you're feeling refreshed and renewed. And God knew exactly that you needed that. And when we get so dependent on the past, on how God worked in our life in the past, we often don't see what He's doing in the here and the now. You know, when we look at how we grew maybe 5 years ago, you know, I think when I first came to SP, I felt like I was like growing like crazy, right? I'd have these crazy experiences and then things seemed to really just kind of die down. And I could have gotten, well, I probably did get stuck in the trap that I didn't feel like I was growing. You know, it's kind of like I first came and it was like I was reading the Bible like every day, like chapters and chapters and chapters. And I'd pray and I would come to every event and I wanted to and I liked it and I enjoyed it. And I just felt like I was on a spiritual growth. And then I went through a season where I still came to events and I still did things, but it just felt like God wasn't speaking to me as clearly as He was in that season. And I can't say exactly how I was growing in that next season. I'm sure I was. But I could have gotten trapped in that time, and I think I did a little bit. It's like, oh, this is what it was in the past. You know, it's that whole idea of the good old days of high school. I actually don't understand that too much. I had a good time in high school, but I'm like, it wasn't like better than now, per se. But we get so trapped in looking at how we grew in the past that we forget how God is growing in us now. Now, there is a caution I have for that, because we can easily also then say, well, it's okay. Everything is fine. God's just growing me in a new way in this season. And actually, maybe there's some disobedience in your life. And that's why you're not growing. So you have to be careful that you look at both sides. Where it's like, okay, I'm growing in a different way in a different season at this time. But maybe actually you're not growing. And then it's related to disobedience or related to you not spending enough time with God or whatever it may be. And so that you actually need to like look at yourself. When you're starting to wonder why it seems like you're not growing, do a self-reflection. Ask God to show you, is it because He's working in a new way, or is it because of something you've done or you haven't done that can be rectified so that you can start to have it ignite, like you can be ignited into growth again. A second thing that I noticed was it was a strange answer to prayer. Manna is not something that was before or ever or has come again from what we know, right? They wouldn't have expected this manna product, right? When you're teaching the kids in Noah's Ark what manna is, they're always like, well, what is it? And we're like, well, that's actually what that means. We don't know exactly what it was like. And so we bring in honey because it says it tasted a little bit like honey. And we'll bring in like this wafer type thing because it says it's flaky like wafer. But we actually don't even know if the wafer they're talking about is like any of the wafer we have today. So everything we're doing is kind of a guess, right? But it's just to get the kids to think. But we actually, it's a really strange answer to prayer that on the ground, you're going to pick up this bread-like material that you can bake into bread. You can eat. It's kind of sweet. It's flaky. I think it says kind of like coriander seed is what it was originally like, right? It's a strange answer to prayer. When we ask God for our daily bread, for our needs to be met, He may do it in ways that we don't see coming. Sometimes it is a supernatural encounter. You may get knocked over on the front of the up here and God speaks to you, or someone may call you out and have a prophetic word and it changes your life. And also may just be a natural way. I think the radical middle is to know the supernatural and the way God works naturally, supernaturally. How God also works supernaturally through the natural. That's the way I wanted to say it. It doesn't have to be this big show. It doesn't have to be gold flakes falling from the ceiling, which is cool. I mean, I've never seen it, but I assume that'd be pretty cool to see. God can also work through the kindness of a stranger. Yesterday, we were talking about neighbors in the office, and I think Eileen started off by saying her neighbor moved, and Ashley was saying something about her neighbor, and then I was like, oh, I still have the same neighbor. And my neighbor is, she's definitely special. She definitely, something's not quite right with her mentally. But every time she sees me, like this morning, I was getting in the lift, she was getting off the lift. And every time almost she sees me, she always says, oh, beautiful woman. Every time. And at first, and then she gives me toothpicks and sometimes bananas, sometimes cookies. Never eat her food she gives you because she touches her feet all day long. Like when she sits on the couch in the foyer at the building, which is fine. I just take it and then you just dispose of it. But even in that natural, right? There's some days you just need that pickup. And then there she is sitting there telling you and giving you this answer. God doesn't do things that we always think is rational. He used mud to open the eyes of a blind man. Now, my first instinct, if I were to go to the doctor and ask, say my eyes aren't feeling good, and if he pulled out mud, I'd probably think he was crazy. But symbolically, this actually makes a lot of sense. Maybe in the moment it doesn't, but I was reflecting on this point and it kind of stood out to me like God created man out of dirt. And when God created man out of dirt, man was perfect. There was no illness, there was no sickness. So actually when Jesus uses mud and he puts it on the eyes of the blind man, he's bringing his eyes back to perfection of what it was, the created way where he was supposed to be in creation. So it may seem odd and it may seem strange, but actually there's something to it. Lazarus, Jesus could have said, be healed from a distance. We've seen him do it before, and yet he chooses not to. He allows Lazarus to die, which makes his sisters quite upset, sad. Like, Jesus, you could have done this. You knew you could have done this. We know you could have done it. They believed it, right? This idea that faith, right? They had complete faith that Jesus could heal their brother until he didn't. And then he let him die. Right? Kind of think about that. They, like, what were you thinking? And then Jesus raises him from the dead. And what does Jesus do in that moment? He proves who he is, that he is all powerful. God does not work in our lives in the ways we always think. It may be weird or different and strange, but it's still God at work. In our lives, we may pray for things and we often don't see God's answer or his ways. But I want to challenge you today to look for the manna in your life. Those things that you've been praying for, those things that you have desired, maybe it's already right in front of you and you don't know it. You haven't recognized what God has put in your life, the manna of your life. Now, I can't say 100% that the Israelites hadn't prayed. It's not explicit in the text. It says they grumbled and complained to Moses and Aaron, right? And it kept coming over and over through that portion of scripture. They grumbled and they complained. And yet, God heard them. It wasn't in the formality of how we sit down and fold our hands and close our eyes and we pray to God, right? They were really upset. Yet, God heard them and he answered their cries. God hears your prayers. He hears you. Don't doubt that fact for a second. God hears you. And the third thing was trust in God. Trust in God. The people of Israel had to trust God. Trust that he provide for them on a daily basis. And actually, if you connect manna and you look in Matthew at the Lord's Prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, most of the people in Jesus' audience would have understood that to the context of manna, where every day their ancestors had to depend on God literally for their food. But manna doesn't have to be just food. Our daily bread doesn't have to just be food. It is any area of our life that we are in need. Could be in need relationally, spiritually, physically, economically. Any area that we are in need, that we cry out for God to give us this day our daily bread. And it was a trust. We have to learn to trust. They had to learn to trust God. Right? They had been slaves for 400 years. 400 years they were slaves. And, I mean, I've never been a slave. I don't think any of us here have ever been slaves. But you have to, in some ways, right, you become very dependent on your slave owner. Well, not in some ways. In almost all ways, you become dependent on your slave owner, how they will treat you. Will you get food that day? Now, slavery would have been a little different than our modern thought process of slavery. Okay, so let's not take slavery of today and put it on there. But you would have been dependent. And now you're taking them away from these people, even though they were cruel and harsh to them at times. You remove them. It's like Stockholm Syndrome in a way. You think it was better. You forget, right? And so here, they forgot. And God, in this trust and building up this trust every day, providing manna in their life, they're trusting, learning to trust God for who he says he is. Right? Every single day, they had to trust who God is. Now, think about it here. These same people just watch Moses lift up his staff, part the Red Sea, they walk on dry land, and yet they take more manna than they're told to take because they fear that there won't be there tomorrow. There's no other reason why they would have taken more than that they feared that God would not provide for the next day. Right? There's no other reason for taking more. And when they wake up, they see worms in their food. And God is like saying, trust me. We in our life can see miracles from God and still not trust him later. We can't base our trusting in God and our relationship with God on the current events of our life. They're great. They're wonderful. We want them. But a year from now, we can be like, yeah, right now, I'm never going to forget God. Look what he's doing. And a year from now, forget God. Right? These guys saw something that none of us have seen. If you have, please tell me. But parting of the Red Sea, they saw the 10 plagues come and being released. And yet, they didn't trust him enough. And so as God is continually bringing him the manna each and every day, he's building and building the trust. Trust in God is essential in our relationship with him. Essential. When we look throughout the prophets, there's a common thread that is running through them. They did not trust me. They trusted themselves, their own hands, or other nations. They put their trust in these other kings, these other countries. They made alliances, and this led to Judah and Israel's ultimate downfall. We also see, though, that they are promised a return to the promised land. Right? So even though God brings judgment to them for their disobedience, he also ends almost every book, not all, with this, but I will bring you home. I will bring you home. There will be this remnant that will be brought home. So this morning, I'm going to ask you to come up, and I want you to reflect on one question. Are there areas in your life that you're not trusting God? Are there areas in your life that you're not trusting God? He already knows. Be honest with him. Just share and talk with him. Allow him to speak truth into your life. So as we go into a place of worship, let's just allow God to speak to us this morning. So God, we just thank you that you are a provider, Lord, that you take care of our needs, Lord, even when we don't even know what they are. And Lord, we just ask that you open our eyes to see what you are doing in our lives, doing in our church's life, doing in our city's life, God, and in this world. God, Lord, that you will show us, God, and that we can trust you even when we don't see. So Lord, we just thank you and we love you. Let's turn to our community prayers. Let's pray for those who are battling cancer and going through chemo and radiation therapy. Let's lift up those in our community who have family and friends who have different illnesses, but also yet need to meet Jesus. Let's just pray for healing and salvation. Let's lift up those who are suffering from other various infirmities. Let's lift up those seeking jobs. Let's really just pray that they will know God as their provider in this season. Turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan and Peace Sophia. Let's pray for Cambodia, Grace, Oasis House with P. Jenny O. Let's just pray that God will really use these women and these ministries to further his kingdom and just giving them the strength they need for each and every day. Let's lift up our mission council. Let's just pray that God will give them wisdom and discernment as they are making decisions. And let's just pray that we also become even more a missional focused church. Let's pray for our local outreach teams, Agape, Homie, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's just pray Yeah, that as we go out into these communities, that we can really just share Jesus's love and friendship and truth with everyone that we encounter. Lift up SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministry. Let's just pray for Cadence as she leads this ministry, and let's just pray for each of our families who are right now fostering, thinking of fostering, or waiting for their next foster child, baby, to come into their home. Lift up our Friday evening gatherings, IP, SPU, SP Youth. EG's not tonight because PSAM's away. So let's just lift up the other three. Lift up our house churches tonight, Elements, McCain, McDaddy, and McRobinson. Let's just pray for our open hearts of sharing. Let's just pray for unity, and let's just pray for real challenging of one another and growing in their faith. And finally, I think we should also just pray for our city. As we know, there's that typhoon coming. It seems like it's starting to slightly veer more away. But let's just pray for the people who will be impacted, not just this one, but also the hurricane that's hitting the U.S. as well. And let's just pray for lives to be safe. And let's just pray for God's hand to just come into these places right now. So God, we just thank you that you are all-powerful, Lord, that you're all-knowing, Lord, and that you are the God of creation of this world, Lord. And we just thank you that we get called into an intimate personal relationship with you, Lord, where we can trust you to provide for our needs. Lord, that you call us to trust you because you are good and that you are trustworthy, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have done in our lives in this church. And Lord, we just give you all the honor and the glory and the power and the praise, God. We just give it all to you. So Lord, we thank you and we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.